Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be discussing a topic that so many of you are familiar with. It's going to college. But we're going to be taking it from an angle that I don't think many parents are aware of. And for those of you that have little ones and you're looking at them and they're so adorable and you're thinking, oh, we're going to prepare for college, boy, are you going to be in for a surprise, because by the time those little ones grow up, it's going to be such a different world, and it has changed so much as it is to try to get into college. Well, my guest today, Pam Proctor, is a woman with a phenomenal background, and we're going to be talking about her area of expertise and understanding, because she works with young people to package themselves to go to college. Pam, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, you have quite an interesting background, because you were the former senior editor-writer for Parade magazine. You have been quoted by many individuals as being an expert on college admissions. You have been recognized by Newsweek, the Associated Press, and you've just got so much of a background as far as advising young people to go to colleges. And of course, some of the most prestigious are Dartmouth and Harvard and Princeton and Yale and Notre Dame, and well, there's quite a list there. But you have been able to assist students to get into college. But I was astonished when you said in your book, if a student has a 4.0 average, so what? You've got to have a hook. That's why you titled your book, The College Hook. Give us some statistics here. That is really scary.
It is scary, and the reason is that last year, as you may know, was the most competitive year in the history of college admission. As students were coming in with incredible GPAs, I've heard of students with 5.5 GPAs applying to these colleges, and the New York Times reported that valedictorians last year were a dime a dozen. I mean, Harvard, for the class of 2006, which just, you know, graduated a year ago, they had 36% of their class were valedictorians, and they had turned away 80% of them. And just 2 years ago at Princeton, they admitted only 17% of the valedictorians who applied. So here you have students with stellar grades who are absolutely getting rejected. And last year, Harvard turned down 1,100 students with perfect 800s on their SATs. So these days, having good grades and good scores is just the beginning. The bar has been raised academically for students across the country and at schools across the country. And the result is that students have to come up with something more in addition to the grades and scores to set themselves apart. And that something is what I call the hook, which is a special talent, interest, or passion that is going to leap off the pages of the college application and catch the eye of admissions officers.
Most students, when they are, and you've got some wonderful examples in your book, but I'm just talking about in general, and please correct me if I'm wrong. When you're in school and you are working hard to get those grades, and goodness, you go into high school, you're a freshman, maybe you're just one of those wonderful, wonderful students, and you just are so focused on what are you doing, how in the world are you going to be able to know how to package yourself? I mean, this, most adults have a problem doing that.
Well, that's really true. But actually, I think kids are a lot more savvy than we are, perhaps, about not so much promoting themselves, but understanding what marketing is and understanding the importance of selling, because they see it every time, all the time on television. They are products of marketing. So once you awaken them to the notion that they are, in a sense, it may, as crass as it may sound, a product that needs to be sold, and not, you know, not in a negative way, but in a positive way, to bring out your strengths in a way that is going to communicate to colleges what selling points you have, then the students sometimes start to wake up and say, aha, I see what you mean. And, you know, one of the selling points is grades and scores, making sure that your grades are the absolute best they can be. And if your school ranks, trying to be sure that you're one of those at the top of the list. And, again, making sure you have good scores is another selling point. A third one is activities, making sure you're involved in activities that are going to maximize your strengths and interests, not just doing every activity that comes down the pike, but really focusing on those things where you can make a difference. And whether it's athletics, whether it's service, but if your service, be the queen of service. Start a program. Don't just follow the pack. Those and making sure, too, that you have good teacher recommendations. Those are all selling points that you can bring to a college. So once you've kind of explained to students the need to communicate who they are, but more particularly the need to have one special thing that is going to stand out about them, then they get excited, and they actually, from the, you know, you were talking about starting in freshman year, what they can do, certainly, as freshmen, they can start to really look at what their interests are and then try to develop them into something that's almost semi-professional by the time they're applying to college.
There are so many schools in the United States. You had a statement in your book saying it's not uncommon for students these days to apply to a dozen or more schools, sometimes even as many as 30, 3-0, to be able to get into a college.
That's right. A student, and also the Internet has made it much easier for students to apply to schools all over the country. I mean, you know, many students use the Common Application, which is a wonderful tool. It's a generic application used by over 300 colleges and universities around the country, including Princeton and Yale and Harvard and Stanford. And students can easily fill out, not so easily, they have to write the essays, they have to present themselves, but, you know, once they fill out the application and at the push of a button, they can send these applications off to schools all over the country. So what's happening is students from California are applying to Florida, and from Washington, D.C. are applying to Texas. There's so much more cross-fertilization, if you will, geographically. And students are doing it, number one, because they're being driven by fear, because they hear that the pressure is on and that the numbers of applications are up. And, of course, some of the applications are up because more students are applying to more schools. But they also are applying in many ways to maximize their chances of getting into a school that they really want. And, you know, particularly if a student is an athlete, for example, and at a Division III level, which tends to be the smaller liberal arts colleges, let's say you're a tennis player and you have, you know, a good ranking in your state, it's very important to get it out there to a lot of colleges, because you don't know if you're the one that the coach is going to need. You don't know if his team needs just, whether if you're a basketball player, if he needs a point guard or if he needs a center. You may be just the one he needs, or you may be just the one he doesn't need. And so unless you get it out to a lot of coaches or a lot of schools, you're not going to have the opportunity to get the feedback that you might need. So students who have a particular kind of interest that they're looking for might need to apply to more schools just to give themselves an edge in that regard.
I have a friend whose daughter has just finished her freshman year in college,
mm-hmm.
and her parents had started working on trying to get her into schools, and what was her hook was, actually she had two. One, she had focused on music and performing when she was in high school, and she was just an A student in that. But two, she was a phenomenal volleyball player. And just as you mentioned, the schools, you never know which one's going to work out. And there was one in New York she wanted to go to. It wasn't a big college, but it was a nice college, very active in women's volleyball, and that's how she got in.
Yeah, right. That's absolutely right. That's what happened to my son, too. He wanted to play basketball at Division III school, and he just put it out there, and, you know, it really clicked with the coach at Amherst, and he had great scores, and he ended up going to Amherst College and really loved it and, you know, played for 4 years on the team. So, you know, for some students, athletics can be a hook, but as I mentioned in the book, athletics is only a hook if you are a recruited athlete. If you are not good enough to be recruited, then you've got to find another hook.
Let's talk about Josh. He's one of the first people you mentioned in the book, and there were two points that you brought out about him because you worked with Josh.
Right, absolutely.
One, he didn't have a portfolio and also a resume.
Right.
What is it that, you know, the kids have to be willing, the young people are the ones that really have to do most of the work.
Right.
But parents, they're going to be footing the bill, typically.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be, hopefully, very supportive of this young person getting into college. How do they need to be aware? What are these portfolios that are needed? What should he have in his resume? You know, what are the things that need to be paid attention to?
Well, let's talk about the specific example of Josh, because he really was a young man who really pulled it all together. When he was applying to college, he had lived abroad for his freshman year, and when he came back, he had kind of a culture shock, and that pretty much impacted his grade. So he was really playing, by the time he was applying to college, he was really playing catch up academically, because he had, you know, gotten over this period of really readjusting to American society. And so I looked at his background, and he went to a small private school in New York City, and he was captain of the basketball team, he was president of the student body, he was just an incredibly outstanding, articulate kid, and everybody loved him. The problem was he was not going to be a recruited athlete because his basketball team wasn't any good, and even though he was captain, you know, he wasn't going to be a recruited athlete. And also when I looked at, also as student body president, he went to a very small school, and even though it was very impressive that he was president of the student body, there are thousands of student body presidents, and I looked at his scores and his grades, and I said, look, you know, you really need something big to set yourself apart. And it turns out he had had this passion for photography since sophomore year in high school, and he had taken lots of pictures, and he had even set up a dark room in his room. And summer before junior year, he had worked for a very famous New York photographer as an assistant. So I said, look, you know, obviously you have this strength in photography. Do you have a portfolio? And he said, no. And I said, okay, between now, and this was August before his senior year, between now and December, I want you to put together a portfolio of your photographs and submit it with your applications. Well, Josh went out and did it. And as you said, you know, it's going to take some support from the family. And his mother literally set up the lights in her living room. And every Saturday he had students from his school. He only went to a very small private school. He had 25 kids in his class. And one by one on a Saturday, they would come to his house in New York City, and he would take portraits, black and white portraits of them. And he had a dark room in his house, so he did his own developing. And as the portraits were coming out of the chemicals, even he could see that he was very good. And as people started looking at his photographs, they started giving him accolades. His headmaster hired him to take portraits of the faculty. Before you knew it, this young man had a budding business going. And what's more, for the first time in his high school career, because of the good vibes he was getting from everyone else, he was on the honor roll for the first time in his high school career, first semester, senior year. And he put together a portfolio to die for. I mean, it turned out he was a genius at photography. And he put the effort together to do that, because you could tell that to some students, you know, put together a portfolio, and they think it's a great idea, but then they wouldn't do it. Other students might get started, and then when it got too hard getting the kids, their friends coordinated to come, they might give up. Well, Josh stuck with it, and he had this incredible portfolio that he submitted with his college applications. And he had some, you know, big-name schools on his list. He had Bard, which is known for its arts, Oberlin, Hampshire College, and Bard was one of them at the top of his list. Well, lo and behold, before April 1st even came around, he received word from one school that he was given a $5,000 a year scholarship simply because of his photographic portfolio. And he ultimately was accepted at Bard and waitlisted at Hampshire and then later accepted. And he went to Bard and hit the ground running, as majored in photography, also studied creative writing. He is now, at the age of 25, one of the rising young photographers in New York City. And he sent me an email. He had an exhibition in Zurich, Switzerland. And it all started with his portfolio that he was putting together in his hook. And he told me that had it not been for the effort of putting together his portfolio and focusing on photography as his hook for college, he would never have realized that he could do this, become an artist professionally. And so it transformed his life. And so when I, you know, if your student has a talent in the arts, then put together if he's a photographer, put together a photographic portfolio. If he's an artist, and work with his high school art teacher to pick and choose the pieces that he's going to make slides of to submit to colleges. Other students have had talent in music. One of my students who's in the book, Amanda, you probably remember that story. She was had a starring role freshman year off Broadway, and had a musical, couple of musical solos. Well, she made a CD of her. Not only did she send her cast album to Dartmouth, which she wanted to go to, early decision, but she also made a CD of her singing several different kinds of pieces and submitted it to the music department. And the music department was thrilled, and she was ultimately admitted early decision. But she took the trouble to put together that CD of her singing, and then she attached her acting resume. But as you were mentioning about resumes with Josh, I helped him put together a resume that was keyed to his hook so that the very first thing that school saw were his photographic interests and talents. And so, again, it's not an ordinary college job resume. You really need to figure out what your child's hook is and then be sure you communicate that as the very first thing colleges see on a resume or an activity list, which is a standard grid on most college applications. They'll give you blanks with 8 lines to fill in what are your favorite activities or most important activities in order of importance to you. And I always tell students, be sure you lead with your hook. So in the case of Josh, he led with photography, and then it says leadership roles you've had, what awards you've won, and he indicated he was a freelance photographer who had taken photographs of his school faculty and his students. And also he indicated in under job experience his work with the famous New York photographer. So and he wrote an essay about it. So throughout his application, he wove his photography hook in every aspect of his application, lest the admissions committee, in their speed to read his application, overlooked it.
Now, you've just brought up a point. The applications committee has to go through thousands of applications.
Absolutely.
Thousands of applications. And this must be something that is absolutely daunting because you have a deadline when you have to look at these applications. And what is a timeline that students need to really be aware of? I mean, if families need to be aware of this, because there are definitely timelines for applications.
Well, absolutely. Well, usually a lot of the applications that, like the new version of the Common Application, the next year's version will probably go online mid-summer, July 1st. Typically, a lot of public universities, their applications will go online sometime around July 1st, mid-July. And really, students can get a jump start on their applications even before that because the questions on the Common Application haven't changed in several years. And there are standard questions to indicate a risk you've taken or an activity or an achievement you've had and its impact on you. Indicate a person who's had a strong impact on you and explain that influence. Tell us something about an experience you've had with diversity. These are all very standard questions, and in my book I've listed them all from the Common Application, or you can go on the Common App website, www.commonapp.org, and download a copy, and you can get an advanced look at what is. Parents who have juniors can get an advanced look of the actual application that they'll be filling in. And students can start thinking about and brainstorming about essay topics right now, and certainly in the summer. By the summertime, they should be writing those essays, and they should be starting to fill in the Common Application. I recommend students do that as a template because it makes it, once you get all the basic information down, let's say you're applying to Berkeley or to University of Michigan, even though they have separate applications, they're going to ask for a lot of the same information. So if you have it down in one place, it's going to make it a lot easier. But get started next summer so that by the end of the summer, you've got a couple of really good essays done and perhaps some of your applications really ready to go. And some schools will start accepting applications in September. They have what's called rolling admission. As you submit them, they start evaluating them and getting back to you. And it's always good to get in there early because in some cases classes fill up.
Absolutely. Let's talk about acing the interview. That's one of your chapters that you have. And I was surprised. One of the first lines regarding this as you say, believe it or not, one of the biggest mistakes students make in interviews is failing to set them up at all. And
absolutely.
That really surprised me.
I know. Well, a lot of schools are actually doing away with interviews because it is so time-consuming. But many, many schools still rely on alumni interviews in local areas. And it is surprising that students don't do it. But the reason it's important is that the interview itself might not carry a whole lot of weight, but one of the things that signing up for it and going to it will do will be to demonstrate to a college that you are interested enough to go to that effort. And also, if you do have a great interview with an alumni interviewer, typically the alumni will send a letter to the school explaining who you are, explaining about the interview. And in some cases, such as the school that I did not mention in my book, but in this case, the alumnus really had a great track record from this area in helping students to get into the school that they were applying to. So it can make a difference. And certainly if you're meeting with an admissions officer, many schools will have admissions reps come to a local area. They might go to your school. They might be speaking at a hotel with several other reps. Sometimes these people will actually meet with you. I learned of a rep from Gettysburg College who was going to be speaking at several schools in New York, not at one of them where one of my students attended, and he was willing to meet my student at a Starbucks for a short half-hour
mm-hmm.
interview. Now, that a lot of these admissions people are willing to do things like that. So it's really behooves students to get on the radar screens of the admissions people and of the school by showing enough interest to actually sign up for an interview. So if you have a chance, get up, go online, sign up for that interview, and if you can't do it online, then call the school and say, I would like to meet with an alumnus or an alumna from my area, and go for it.
And then you also, which is just common etiquette, is you say always follow up with a thank you letter, and you have in your book a sample thank you letter for students to utilize, to be able to do. You talk about romancing admissions. You have a chapter on how to learn how to, just what you said, get in touch with people in your local area that are part of admissions, multicultural admission coordinators, a special open house programs, visit the campus. I think that really is so important, visiting the campus, because we've known of students that have gone, they've gotten into some wonderful schools, and they find out it's not the right school for them. Either it's too big, the format of the environment just is not comfortable for them, and they end up not doing well and end up going into another college, which they feel fortunate that they're able to get into. But college is really so significant. It is such a big expense, number one.
Right.
But it's such an extremely important aspect of life. And here we have so many students in our country that really are doing very, very well, who are doing exceptionally well, and they're having a real challenge. What about the wait list?
Well, one of my big pieces of advice, whether a student is deferred from early decision, as many students applied to November 1st was a big time for early decision for many of the top schools in the United States, and November 15th is another early decision deadline, and some schools have early decision too, usually around the same time as the regular admissions deadline. But if a student is deferred from early decision or waitlisted during the regular admission round, I tell them, please don't roll over and play dead. This is a time to get up and get going. As the Marines say, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, and that means you. And that means do everything you can to communicate with the admissions office anything new that you might have accomplished. If your grades have gone up significantly, if you've gotten new test scores that you haven't sent in, if you've achieved some awards that you haven't let them know about, this is the time to do it. And it's also important, if a school is your number one choice, to be sure to send a letter and in the top line, send an email and a letter. I'm always big on overkill. And in the very first line, just say, that you absolutely, it is your first choice, and even though you're deferred, if you are admitted, you will definitely go. That is, if it is your first choice. And just keeping in touch, like, and then I would keep in touch every, you know, if you're waitlisted, I would keep in touch every 10 days and just keep that message out in front of them. And if possible, go visit the school. Even one of my students actually got on a train, went to Washington, went up to Connecticut to visit two schools where he was waitlisted. And he wanted to go to Wesleyan University. He went into Wesleyan admissions office. He had not set up a prior appointment, but they graciously sat down with him. And during that period of time, he won them over, and he ultimately was accepted to Wesleyan. So, and this has happened more than once. And another student did the same with Bowdoin. She was from New York City. She was waitlisted at Bowdoin, and she and her family immediately drove up the next day, and they happened to bump into the admissions director in the office, whom the father recognized from his photograph, and that set up a dialogue and a conversation, and ultimately she was admitted. So be the squeaky wheel. The squeaky wheel does get the grease sometimes, and just don't be afraid to put yourself forward, and it may pay off. And you can't even... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You can't even go on what happened the previous years, because the wait list changes from year to year. Some years some schools over-admit, and therefore the next year they cut back on their wait list, then the next year they might admit even more. And some schools are, Princeton is talking about expanding its student body slightly, and Amherst is considering adding a few. So, you might be one of the lucky ones who are in this added pool. So, really give it a try.
And above all, don't just have one school only, because there are so many people I have met that even though they were fabulous academically, there were schools, just like you said, that bounced them and said, no, we're not taking you. And it is really tough, because when you feel that you have just pushed yourself and done everything according to the book, and then you're rejected by where your heart's drawing you. But when you can get into another school, that there is a number of very fine schools, and so you should have more than one choice.
That's absolutely true, and we have the best educational system in the United States, higher educational system in the world. Students from all over the world are trying to come to American colleges, and we have choices over and above our choices. I was just in Vietnam last May and leading a team of writers to teach at Hanoi University. We were teaching writing to their young English faculty, and we passed students who had been sitting for their national exams, and there aren't that many. There are, a handful of schools over there for which students can be admitted, and if they miss one exam, if they, don't do well on that exam, they have to wait for an entire year to do it again. But we have so many wonderful choices and so many options, and, I really encourage kids to regard looking, when you were talking about be sure you go visit schools, look at it as a shopping trip. This isn't just who's going to take you? Do you want this school because it has a program where you're going to flourish? Ultimately, you want to be in a place where you can blossom. And, as you said, you might know it the minute you step on campus. And why not do that ahead of time rather than after you've accepted and arrived there?
Oh, absolutely.
But there are so many schools that you could be happy at more than one, certainly happy at more than one school. So keep your options open, but then be sure as you're doing it to have a range of schools so you have as many reaches as you want, as many of those tough schools that may be your dream schools, but be sure to have some middle range schools that maybe not be as quite as difficult to get into, but schools where you would be happy going, and some schools where you think you have a pretty good shot at getting in, but again, where you would be happy going, because believe me, most students when they get to college end up looking back and are genuinely happy with the choices that they've made.
Pam Proctor has been my guest today. Her wonderful book, The College Hook, is all about packaging yourself to win the college admissions game. If you're a parent, if you are a relative in a family that has a young person that's really wanting to do this, if you've got little ones and you're looking at putting them through college, staying informed is so important because the changes have been astronomical. Pam, do you have a website? You are a coach. People, if they wanted to get in touch with you.
I do. It's www.collegehook.com.
Collegehook.com.
Or they can do pamproctor.net or Oregon. It'll go to the same place.
Great. Okay, so it's Pam Proctor,
Right, yeah, P-R-O-C-T-O-R, or www.collegehook.com.
Great. Pam, it's been a delight. Keep up the good work, because, boy, there's a lot of young people out there that sure can use your help.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure, too.
This is Donna Sebo. We're getting ready to go on a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go anywhere now.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, because telephone lines are now open. And if you're a new listener to the show, I'm so delighted you're able to join us. All you have to do is call one of the numbers that I'll be given. I just need your first name or your initial, and then I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers you can call in to 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Well, I want to remind you that I am going to be appearing in Los Angeles February the 8th through the 10th, and it's going to be at the 6th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival. This is quite an exciting event because it's at the LAX Hilton at 5711 West Century Boulevard in Los Angeles. If you want to find out more about it, the number is 800-367-5777. That's 800-367-5777. Or you can go to ConsciousLifeExpo.com. ConsciousLifeExpo.com. It is going to be just fabulous. Cutting-edge speakers like Daniel Brinkley, Vishali. We have George Norrie, Lisa Williams, The Peaceful Warrior, Dan Millman, Gay Hendricks, Byron Katie, and so many, many more, including myself. Now, they're going to have a spiritual comedy night. They're also going to have a conscious business symposium and yoga classes. So they've got a phenomenal lineup of activities, and we'd love to have you come and join us. You will be able, again, to find out more about it by going to the ConsciousLifeExpo.com website, or, again, their 800 number, 367-5777, and you can book early for your tickets. You'll find out all about the pricing and other information that you're interested in, and I'm going to be there doing an appearance, speaking, as well as doing many consultations, so you'll be able to look for the Donna Sebo Show in the program, and you'll find it there. We're also going to be doing a live broadcast on February the 8th, right from the site. So I'm very excited about being a part of that wonderful, wonderful activity. Well, we're going to have a great lineup of people. Tomorrow we've got B.J. Gallagher, who is a repeat guest on my show. Everything I Need to Know I Learned from Other Women is the title of her book. It's a lot of fun. And next week, we've got a wonderful arrangement of guests and information. We've got condo buying and ownership. Have you ever considered doing that? Well, I'll tell you what, Kay Sine has done such a good job of pulling all the information together. It's a must read. If real estate investment in condos is right up your alley, or if you're thinking of buying one for yourself. Born Many Times, George McMullen, is a man that is very interested in reincarnation. We're going to be talking to him. Also, Daniel Brinkley and Brian McClure are going to be my guest next week. Guests, I should say, next week. And then we're going to be talking about Scamorama. Boy, I'll tell you, I have been reviewing material about ID thefts, identity thefts. It's just terrible what has happened to so many people. Well, Eve Edelson is an expert in this area, and we're going to be hearing from her. Then Gary Malkin is a man who has a phenomenal publication. He's a wonderfully talented musician. His publication is Graceful Passages, and I've had Gary on before. He's just a wonderful guy, and we're going to be talking about some of his work. We've got so much more that's coming up, but I want you to know that those are the people that are going to be upcoming, and it's going to be an absolute joy to share that with you. Meanwhile, if you want to chat with me, call 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. My newsletter is up. You'll be able to go in to my website and find out my calendar, my appearances as they're going to be for this first quarter of the year. And there is so much happening. So this is really quite a dynamic year, starting right off the bat, 2008. So give me a call if you want me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Well, I came across an information about a woman who was in the later years of her life, and she was quite healthy, and she just was so very, very active, but she decided she was going to put her affairs into order. Well, she's got a special story I wanted to share with you, and I'll be doing that. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Hello, welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
This is Lyle from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hi, Lyle.
How are you doing?
Well, I am doing just fine. Is it a little brisk back there?
I'm sorry?
Is it a little brisk?
Yes, it is. It was warm. It was in the 60s, and now it's going back down. We had about 47, and it's been rainy for the past couple of days, so it's kind of dreary. Looking for some sun.
Looking for some sun. Gee, that sounds like the Northwest. The Pacific Northwest. We've got the same stuff here. Rain's coming down, but we're a little cooler than you. We're in the 40s. And we've had one storm come in right after the other. Of course, that's the time of the year. This is just what happens in the Pacific Northwest. It's what keeps us green.
Yes, usually with snow, but, you know, it's been a little warmer, so we've gotten a bunch of rain. So.
Well, that's better than the sleet and the ice.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Lyle, let's get down to business with you. The first thing I'm looking at is that you must think before you speak. I don't know why it is a warning to you at this time, because normally you're very, very thoughtful before you say anything to anyone. So it makes me wonder if someone might be pushing your emotional buttons one way or the other. And in doing that, then you may find yourself feeling a little agitated. So So if you notice any agitation, take a deep breath without anybody knowing that you're doing it, and count to 10 and keep your teeth together before you say anything, because you want to think clearly and choose your words carefully, because I think someone is trying to put you into that positioning of vulnerability, and I don't want to see you go there. Also, I'm looking at a couple of interviews that I think that you are going to be very excited about, because they are opportunities for expansion and development in your own skill set and interest area. Now, this is something that may not, when you would choose to accept any of these positions, it may not start off with exactly what you'd like, but it gives you an opportunity to be a part of an environment that shows you what you can do as your next step. So I think this is really, really important. Also, there is a lot of drain on you in your private life. You are feeling like there's a squeeze in your private life, and it may be a good idea if you have someone that you can talk to, a minister or a counselor, that can help you get a clear perspective on how to work with that, because you don't want to be at war with yourself relative to your professional choices and your personal life. There can be a balance here. It doesn't have to be an either or. There can be a balance. But you may need to have somebody that's outside of you, outside of your situation, that can give you the perspective that you can choose to focus on. And I use the plural for a reason, because that's what it really is. It isn't a black and white. It isn't something where there's just one way to do it. There's more than one way, and that's what you need to be aware of. What would you like to ask me about today?
It's in process. I have a court case that is coming up, and basically it deals with taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just make this as brief as I can. Basically, I've heard that they said that the taxes on our income is basically it's a fraud. And I have researched it. I researched it for about 6 months and basically found out that it's true. But people have to do the research for themselves. It talks about wages when you're doing your federal form. And the states, all the states have adopted what is coming off the federal forms. And if you look up the definition of wages, I did it and looked in the Internal Revenue Code and saw how they defined it. And I found out that unless you work for the government, or unless you're pulling on Social Security taxes, or unless you're getting direct payment from the government, or if you live in any of the territories like the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, etc., or you live in Washington, D.C., you don't owe any taxes. But, like I said, so I submitted my state forms. I had a hearing. Of course, they found against me. Now I'm going to tax court. And basically, I'm wondering how that'll go.
Well, I think you have taken on quite a challenge, because I think it's going to work against you. I would like very much for you to have a tax attorney. Do you have a tax attorney that you've consulted with?
No, I haven't.
You need to. And the reason being is that there are laws that have been put in place. And I understand what you're saying. Now, I'm not a tax attorney, but I really think you have got a situation here where you really should take the time to, before, if possible, before you go into court, to talk to someone that really has a good knowledge about this. What you're saying in some respects is true, but there have been other additions and amendments, if you will, to various things that were put into place.
Oh.
Again, I'm not a specialist.
Oh, well,
but I think you really need to check. I think you're going to have a tough time with this one. And it's just because of the way the system is. And I understand what these people are saying.
Well,
but I want you to not end up being a victim because of not being aware of certain particulars.
Well, when I say I've done it, I mean I've studied it a lot. The other thing is, I have found that other states have actually given back the money because people have pointed out the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, I've done research, and I've looked at the law. I've looked at Supreme Court cases that basically back it up and tell how to interpret the law, basically.
Well, Lyle, I'll tell you what. I think I've got to go to a break pretty soon, but I really think that this is something I'd love to see you interact with someone who is a top-notch tax attorney.
Okay.
Because I think for you to go in without having that, it's going to be an adventure, if nothing else.
Yeah, I have that feeling.
It's going to be an adventure.
All right.
I really would like for you to get an attorney. Lyle, I've got to go because I've got to take a break.
Thank you.
You are welcome. And call back and let me know how it turned back.
All right.
Bye. Okay. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. If you want to give me a call, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I started to tell you about an older woman that was deciding she was going to get her life in order. Now, she wasn't sick. There was nothing wrong with her, but she was one of these people that just wanted to organize things. And she said she had this phenomenal book collection, and she had boxes and boxes of them, and every time she had moved, she might take some of them out of the boxes, but it just seemed like they had really accumulated, and she valued these books a great deal. They were like friends, and she just couldn't get rid of them. They were just too precious to her. Well, eventually she decided, I am going to have to really get rid of most of these because I'm moving again, and I'm just not going to have the place to put these. So she donated them to libraries and, you know, did different things. Well, when she relocated, she had managed to whittle everything down to just a relatively small amount of books that were absolute favorites. And she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just start, giving away books to friends that might be interested in them. And she said, you know what? She found that it opened up by sharing books with people. She she just opened up a whole new venue of opportunity for friends. She opened up new relationships on all different levels. She said, I decided I wasn't going to put up with, you know, the books were just the beginning, but she said, I decided I was going to also work on some of the relationships that I had not really given too much time to. And she said she felt so great with everything she was doing. And this was just a decision that she said, I want to be able to have my life in order and not be encumbered with things that were like loose ends in her space. And the questions were posed when she shared her story with the person that was interviewing her. Why would we wait so long to put things in order? Why wouldn't we want to liberate ourselves so that we can have an unburdened life? And I thought, that was a very good perception. And this woman, she's still active and she's still going strong, so it's not as if it's something that she did out of a foreboding of any kind. No, she took the positioning of saying, I want to lighten up what I have in my life. I really don't want to have a whole bunch of stuff, and I don't want to not keep cultivate relationships. And I had to, when I came across this story, I thought of an experience I had just this morning. A woman that I have been friends with for a number of years, she moved back to Tennessee, and we had so many wonderful conversations and good memories to share, and she'd sent me a Christmas card. And so I wrote a little note back to her thanking her for the card, and I said, be sure and send me your email, and she did. And today I found a beautiful email letter from her waiting for me, and it was just delightful. And here we have opened up a communication again. It's so important to realize that where we are today is where we are today. And when we can keep those relationships and those communications open, I think it's one of the greatest gifts that technology has given us, with email and with cell phones and, you know, just so many other things that make it so much easier to communicate. Think about it, what it was during the covered wagon days. They had to wait sometimes a year or more to get mail. It was just, it's amazing what we have been able to accomplish in a relatively short period of time that allows us to link with people in different parts of the world. I had a communication with somebody in Canada and also in New Zealand. And when these things are going on, we take it for granted today, but it wasn't that long ago when that wasn't possible. So I just wanted to share those thoughts with you. Books and burdens. We can really unload whatever we really don't want. Remember, we're custodians. At least that's my attitude. In life, we are custodians of whatever is in our space, and it's our job to take good care of whatever we have. Personal opinion, of course, being stated there. But if we take care of what we've got, then maybe we're going to be able to give it to someone else that's really going to appreciate it. I can remember when I first got married, we had some very dear friends that's what they did. They were an older couple, and they had so much in their life that they were grateful for, and they did something similar to what this lady I was talking to you about. They decided they wanted to lighten up. And so in turn, they gave us gifts of beautiful things that I treasure even today. And sometimes I wonder, who am I going to gift those beautiful things to? There's going to be a time when I'm going to want to do that myself. And the adage is, pass it on. Pass it on. And I think that's so true. Well, we're out of time, but before we go, I wanted to share something with you that I thought was really cute. It was sent to me by Gail. She said, there's no need for therapy when you have imagination. And it says, every time someone asks you to do something, ask them if they want fries with it. Put decaf in the coffee maker for 3 weeks. Once everyone has gotten over their caffeine addiction, switch back to espresso. And then skip down the hall rather than walk and see how many looks you get. Or order a diet water whenever you go out to eat with a serious face. And specify that your drive-through order is to go. Sing along at the opera 5 days in advance. Tell your friends you can't attend their party because you have a headache. Mm-hmm. When money comes out of the ATM, scream, I won, I won. When leaving the zoo, start running towards the parking lot, yelling, run for your lives, they're loose. And then tell your children over dinner, due to the economy, we're going to have to let one of you go. And, you know, it's just keep it light. Life is good. This is Donna Sebo. It's been delightful being with you today. Thank you so much. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless, enjoy, and don't forget to have a laugh. It keeps you young. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Woven wood with blue and feathers and a neck like no other, knowing the hand I've never known. To know the word of unknowingness, stepping the light of a pipe in the wait for maybe to self-recurse. You're curling the legs of anonymity until you drink, and then you'll drink the dark into yourself. Well,